Okay. Good evening. Let's call to order the Community Event and Neighborhood Grant Distribution Subcommittee meeting of August of August 6th at 2:03 p.m. The city does not tolerate disruptive behavior in our meetings. Sunnyvale prides itself on the rich diversity of our residents. We are committed to creating a culture of belonging where members of our diverse community feel included, safe, and respected. This meeting is considered a limited public forum, which means the subcommittee can regulate the time, place, and manner of speech. Speaker comments must be limited to the agenda item being considered by the subcommittee for consent calendar or public hearing item. Speaker comments during oral communication must be limited to the matters within the subcommittee's authority and generally referred to as within the subcommittee's subject matter jurisdiction. If a speaker's comments are not related to an agenda item, the presiding officer will rule the speaker out of order. A speaker will not be ruled out of order because of a disagreement with the content of their speech. Location and online meeting details are available on the subcommittee's agenda. Use show captions button to view captions on Zoom. Comments on matters not on the agenda or presentation items must be submitted prior to the time I call the item for oral communications. Comments on the agenda item must be submitted prior to the time I close the public hearing on the agenda item. Speakers are requested to keep their comments to the time period set for public comments for the agenda item, which will be strictly enforced. Guidelines are posted on the city's website and on the subcommittee meeting agenda. Please join me to the salute in the salute of the to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, in liberty and justice for all.
Next is roll call. Recording officer, may we please have the roll call?
Yes. Councilmember Srinivasan.
Present.
Councilmember Cisneros.
Present.
Vice Mayor Sell.
Present.
We have three present.
Thank you. Next is oral communications. This is now the public's opportunity to address the subcommittees on topic not listed on today's agenda items. This section is limited to 15 minutes and may be extended or continued after the public hearing or general business section of the meeting. Individuals may only speak once during oral communication. Please submit a speaker card to the recording officer or raise your digital hand now or dial *9 on a telephone to indicate you wish to speak. I'll call on members of the public participating in person first, followed by remote participants. Speakers will have 3 minutes to speak. I have only one card. This is for item 1 and 3. Is that correct? Oh, consent calendar and public hearing. Okay. First, I call on Valerie. Yes. This is for public comment. No. 1 and 3. That's what it is. Okay. Sounds good. Yeah. I'll go ahead and close oral communication. Consent calendar. Now I'll go ahead and open public comment on consent calendar items. Please submit a speaker card to the recording officer or raise your digital hand now or dial *9 on a telephone to you wish to speak. Is there any public wishing to speak on consent calendar? Valerie, you wish to speak on consent calendar? Go ahead. You have 2 minutes to speak.
I wish to thank you very much for supporting the grants and supporting the Neighborhood Association. I'm extremely grateful for the upcoming budget that you have delineated with the percentage of funding based on the number of houses, so affordable housing. So thank you very much for listening to our prayer for so many years. And really, really grateful. So thank you for
hearing us. Thank you. Do we have any other speakers on this item, consent calendar?
No, we do not.
Okay. I'll go ahead and close public comment. Now I ask for a motion from my colleagues. Go ahead. Oh, sorry.
Okay. I would like to make a motion to approve the consent calendar.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Is there any discussion or advocacy on the motion? If not, recording officer.
Can I make a comment?
Sure.
I just wanted to thank staff for taking such good notes and implementing a lot of what we said at the meeting into the plan. So I just wanted to say you did an excellent job. Thank you. And I hope my colleagues support the consent calendar.
Okay, thank you. With that, recording officer, please conduct a roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Cisneros?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Sell?
Yes.
Councilmember Srinivasan?
Yes.
The motion passes with 3.
Okay, thank you. The next on the agenda item is selection of chair. Recording officer, please. Oh, we don't have the notes here. Is there anybody wishing to become chair or nominating anybody else for chair? Go ahead.
I'd be interested in chair if my colleagues support that, since I haven't done it yet. So,
yeah, I think that's a great idea. I nominate Councilmember Sell to be chair.
Vice Mayor Chair.
Or Vice Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I second that. Okay. Recording officer, please conduct a roll call vote.
Councilmember Srinivasan?
Yes.
Councilmember Cisneros?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Sell?
Yes.
The motion passes 3-0. Okay.
Do we change the seats now? Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Congratulations.
Okay, thank you. The script.
This is Valeris.
Okay, great. Do we move on to item 3, 250591, review and approve the Community Events Neighborhood Grant Program materials for calendar year 2026 and authorize staff to initiate the application process. Is there a staff report? Oh, is there a staff report? Angela, would you like to present?
There is, yes.
Yeah, okay, great.
Good afternoon. Angela Chan, Youth and Family Resources Manager with Recreation Services. I'm also the staff liaison for this program. Wait. Hey, this grant spans two programs. The first one is the Community Event Grant Program, which supports and encourages groups to build community and celebrate Sunnyvale's unique culture with community events. The second is the Neighborhood Grant Program, And the goal of that program is to build engagement among residents, foster a sense of pride and ownership within neighborhoods, and to continue to build strong relationships between neighborhoods and city government. This is our meeting agenda for this afternoon. We hope to review the current 2025 grant cycle, look ahead to the 2026 grant application process, and discuss items related to the new funding cycle as listed. In this current 2025 cycle, we have a total of $48,000 in funding and awarded $31,275 to community events and the remaining $16,725 to neighborhood associations. As a refresher, this is a summary of the community event applicants that were funded and the grant awards they received. As of today, two of the six events have been completed and requested reimbursement for grant funds. This is a summary of the 2025 neighborhood grant requests and awards. And so far, one out of the 10 neighborhood associations have requested reimbursement. A three-year recap of the two grant programs, the number of applications received, the total funding requested and awarded. These are the discussion items we'll like to talk about for the rest of this meeting, focused on the 2026 grant cycle. Funding was significantly increased for the 2026 grant cycle to $150,000. Staff is proposing two grant cycles per year. The fall cycle will allocate 80% of funding. The spring cycle will allocate the remaining 20% of funding. The spring cycle will allow applicants that miss the first deadline a second chance to apply. In addition, any allocated funding that goes unspent from the fall can be added back into the 20% remaining funding for consideration in the spring cycle. Under the Neighborhood Grant Program, staff added a tier three, so now there are three levels of funding for neighborhood grants. And as you can see in the table, the breakdown of the number of households and maximum funding recommended or suggested. In addition, a separate block party application was created to give interested neighbors a chance to offer a smaller event within registered neighborhood associations already. Under the Community Event Grant Program, the only change staff is proposing is to increase the maximum funding allowed to 50%. Previously, it was 40% of the event budget. Next steps for the 2026 cycle, provide direction to staff based on the discussion items. Open the fall grant cycle from September 2nd to October 10th. Reconvene this subcommittee in December to discuss funding recommendations. Present subcommittee recommendations to City Council in January 2026 for approval. This concludes the staff report.
Okay, thank you very much, staff. And now I will ask for questions from my colleagues. Okay, Councilmember Cisneros.
Yes, thank you. And thank you, staff. And I want to echo my colleague's sentiments about the gratitude for incorporating so much of what we talked about. And these are some really big changes to the program, but they're really exciting. Thank you to members of the public. I think that I've heard from a lot of people. So your voice really represented a lot of people who are very happy with these changes. And I just wanted to know, because we are making these changes, is there a plan to have like a close of process survey to the folks who applied and then perhaps get the grants, just so that we can get a sense of, is there anything we need to tweak with this new process now that we're rolling it out the one time for the two tiers? We're rolling out several things, right? We're doing two rounds, tiers of funding, or increasing the total amount. So I would love to have the opportunity to get feedback on that process for them to maybe to discuss in the new year.
We do have some simple questions at the end of the application, asking them whether the process, application process, was cumbersome, easy, how was staff responsive, if they have suggestions for what we can do better in the future.
Great.
Yeah, so those are already included in the application.
Good, lovely. And if we could, on any of the very specific things, like did the tiers work for you? Did the two cycles work for you? And getting their specific feedback on that, because then we can, if it's just like straight across, you're like, oh, it's great. That'd be good to know too. But to make sure that we're pulling that out now and have them help us think about that. So to be clear, with the two cycles, you can only apply the one time. So let's say somebody applies in the first round, and then for the, I believe it was the September to October, and say you don't get it, you would not then be able to go ahead and apply for the second round, correct? In the spring.
Under the community event program?
Wait, no, never mind, because then it all goes into one for the consideration. Yes. So let me just make sure I have that up correctly. Yeah, the two application cycles for the fall and the spring.
So under the neighborhood grant program,
yeah,
there are maximum allocations for each neighbor association.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter how many times you apply, that's your neighbor association. If you apply for the maximum, that's going to be, and if it's approved, that's going to be the maximum grant you're getting for the year. On the community event side,
mm-hmm.
I think if you apply on the fall side and you didn't get approved for whatever reason, and staff should be able to provide that feedback, and you want to apply again in the spring, assuming the timeline works out, I think that's fine.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or if you're applying for a different event, you know, so if someone was applying for Diwali and then in spring they apply, or if they apply for Diwali in spring for the fall, and then they apply for Holi in fall for the spring, they certainly could try and do that. It's really going to come down to what the funds we have available, like it is every year, and the appetite from the subcommittee on, do we want to fund someone twice versus one time and give it to others, or they could apply for both in one shot.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that works. So this gives another level of thinking to
we're trying to
folks.
Be flexible.
Yeah, this is good.
Possible. Yeah,
this is good. I look forward to seeing how that kind of shakes out with where it works. But having that additional cycle is going to help some people who are just, gosh, I missed the deadline and now I have to wait a whole year. It's really good, especially for those who are just kind of onboarding to apply for these things. We don't want that to be the barrier. I think those are all my questions for right now.
Okay. Councilmember Srinivasan.
Thank you. Thanks for the presentation. And then thanks for public for their feedback. And then I am really glad that we increased the funding three times the previous year's funding. And then we heard you, and then we created, I think, the tier system. Hopefully it works. And then it's work in progress. I had several questions, one on the presentation itself. On slide 5, you said that only two community events grants were requested for funding. Is that correct, or what exactly community event funding?
So there were 6 community events that were awarded.
Mm-hmm.
So far, 2 have submitted requests for reimbursement, which means they've completed their event.
Mm-hmm. There may be the other four that have completed their event, but they have not submitted for reimbursement yet, or their event hasn't happened yet, right? Because they have until December of 2025 to host the community event.
Oh, okay. Though our fiscal year is from July, but they have till the end of the year to complete the event.
Correct. Okay. This grant program is a calendar year, not okay. a fiscal year. Correct.
Okay. Got it. I can relate to the Diwali event, which happens in October. What are the other things? I know Sagar Mata Society, that they organized already. Chamber also organized, Arts and Wine. What are the other things pending? And then Holi didn't happen, I think.
Holi did not happen this year, as far as I know. Because that was supposed to be earlier this year.
Right.
The swim club event was scheduled for August, so it should be happening or coming up very soon. And Heritage has their event scheduled for the fall.
Okay, got it. Okay, sounds good. And then I also really like the block party. Just yesterday, we went to so many NNOs. I attended 7 NNOs, including Snail. There were many smaller block party kind of a thing. And then one of the questions they asked me was, will there be any funding for block parties? And then this is a really good way. The question I have is, there is three-tier system for block parties, right? And tier one is 2, 4, and 6. This is number of events in the block party, or what are those numbers mean?
Let me see if I can pull up the right slide.
Slide is 10. Yeah, not this. This is neighborhood grant. The next, this one, the last bullet item.
So we are proposing that block parties are hosted within registered neighborhood associations.
Yeah.
And the tiers, the very last parentheses means if your neighborhood association's in tier one, you can have a maximum of 2 neighborhood association party applications, tier 2, 4, tier 3, 6. Again, the logic is the more number of households you have in your neighborhood association, the more block party applications and essentially funding, right? Then you can host.
Yeah, I can see the logic behind that, but then we need to see how that works. For example, I know Snail is in tier 3, which means that there can be only 6 block party applications, right? That's what it means.
Correct. And then we're suggesting prioritizing the funding to neighborhood association grant applications itself first. Depending on whether there's funding still available, then we would consider block party applications after that.
Okay, that's why there is a maximum of 500, but there is no dollar amount allocated, right?
Correct, there is no dollar amount there's a 500 maximum per each application.
Okay. Sounds good. I have a lot of comments on Guidelines and Eligibility Community Events Grant Program, and then I had Neighborhood Grant also, and then the applications. So I'll start with Community Events Grant Program Guidelines as such, okay? So I wish I could share my screen. Under page number 2, beginning, special event permit requirement. There are 6 bullet items. The second bullet item says, first one will, the requirements, these are special event permit requirement. Do you see that? Okay. First one is open to the public, which makes sense. Second one is large attendance anticipated. So, and then down below, there is, if you look at event eligibility and evaluation guidelines, demonstrate an ability to draw a crowd of at least 500 people. Can we reconcile those two things? or at least say that it's 500 people in the first, second bullet item. Does it make sense?
It does make sense. However, the first one is specifically talking about what requires a special event permit.
Right.
The second grouping is the eligibility for this grant program.
Right. I agree with that, but then large is very subjective.
We purposely put it that way because there are so many factors that could come into getting a special event permit.
Okay.
So large could be 100 people. Large could be 1,000 people. It depends on, are you serving food? Are you, is it open and advertised to the public? Is it, are there going to be, is alcohol served? All of these other triggers can, all of these other things can trigger a special event permit.
Okay.
So the reason we put a large event and we didn't put a specific number is because there is no specific number that triggers special event.
Okay.
It's all the factors that surround it.
Okay.
That can trigger it. A large number itself could trigger it if it was 250, 300 people.
Right.
But if you are having an event that's invitation only to, let's say, your friends and your neighbors, that is then not considered right. open to the public.
Right. So
that's why we try and keep it like that. For the permitting okay. specifically, for the grant process to get one of these grants, we're asking that the number is 500.
Oh, these two are different.
They're this two different the, things yeah, we're talking
two
about.
Different things. Okay, I see. What
yeah, one is special event permits.
Right.
Even if we didn't have this grant available to the community,
right.
we would still need people to get a special event permit okay. if they're going to draw a large audience.
Got it. Got it. And then I like the event eligibility and evaluation guidelines. I was wondering whether that should be part of the application on top of that, because if you look at the application itself, community grant and application, there is no cross-link to the criteria, the guidelines document, right? Either link this document or put all this eligibility guidelines at the top of the application. Does that make sense?
So we added a sentence on the application. The second sentence in that first paragraph that says, please thoroughly review the grant guidelines and eligibility right. criteria to determine if your group qualifies for funding.
Right. Is there a way to provide some link or... I know this is a hard copy document. There is link doesn't mean anything. Some QR code or something to that effect. That way it is readily available. Right?
Sure, we can figure that one out.
Right. And then also, I remember one of the eligibility criteria for grant is it should be free of cost. There shouldn't be entry fee. Is that correct, or am I missing something?
The event itself should be free?
Yeah, right?
I think we put that in the criteria.
Oh, sure. Be free and open to public.
Yeah.
I know Sagar Mata, I don't know whether it was free event or not. So you may want to check that. And then.
Yeah, we had a conversation with them before they were funded this year. So in previous years, their event was ticketed.
Right. Okay.
But this year,
right.
when we gave them the grant funds, they assured us that it was going to be a free non-ticketed okay. event.
Yeah, I have been attending that and it's a wonderful event. And then, okay. I had a question on the block parties. And then on the neighborhood grant program guidelines and eligibility criteria document, right? Page number 2, second paragraph, which starts with project and or event eligibility, right? So this is the first time I am in this document. I am here. I am seeing the word project. Previously, it used to be program and all those things. I understand the difference. But is there a way? So here the project means the event itself, right? Is that correct? under this is a neighborhood grant.
Sorry, one more time.
So if you look at the eligibility, sorry, oh man, this is this trunk. I am looking at the neighborhood grant program guidelines and eligibility document, right? If you look at the second page, second paragraph says, the headline is, title is project and or event eligibility. The term project itself, this is the first time I'm seeing in this document. Does that make sense? Every time it is either event or program or something like that. So here is event and project interchangeably used, or what exactly is a project? How is it different from event?
Yeah, so off the top of my head, some previous projects that neighbor associations proposed and was funded, one of the ones proposed doing a bench in the neighborhood where they invite neighbors to come and chat with each other, and they built a table, a bench, and then just left a sign that's like funded by your neighborhood, city grants, and come sit down and chat with us. So that's a project versus an event.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I see. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The building in the Little Free Libraries is a project.
Oh, that is funded by these grants?
We have funded them before.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Thank you.
Wow. Yeah, there's lots of really creative, okay. Neighbor associations are really creative in what they propose and want to do as with their neighbors.
Okay, that's good. Similarly, the project and events that are not eligible, I would like to see that under the application itself, some way indicating. And then, of course, that's double negative. That is not eligible or... There are a lot of not conditions there. Anyway, some cleaning up needs to be done, I guess. I lost my document, but anyway. Oh. And then... Yeah, regarding the projects and events that are not eligible include, where did I have problems with? That is purchasing equipment and all those things, right? Maybe somewhere it could be seen. But more importantly, special event permit requirement, it's still on page 2. The fifth bullet item, reserve 3+ Baylands picnic area. Do we have a condition where a neighborhood association event will happen, not in the neighborhood, but in Baylands Park?
Do we have a condition where neighbor associations...
event or program, project can happen in Baylands Park? Because if you look at this special event permit requirement, can you see that in page number 2?
Mm-hmm.
The last but one bullet item, reserve 3+ Baylands picnic area, which seems to be cut and paste from the other page.
I think, again, it's specific to special event permit requirement.
But this is a neighborhood grant.
Yeah, so there might be neighborhood association applications and events that would trigger a special event application. So we don't want to exclude neighborhood association events. They're not automatically excluded. They might still trigger a special event application permit,
correct.
In which case that's where all that language is coming from. It's kind of the same discussion we had on the community event side.
That's what I thought.
Yes.
It's a cut and paste from that document. And then, but in reality, neighborhood events cannot happen. It happens in the neighborhood, right? Not in Baylands Park.
I have not seen an application in my time where a neighborhood association requested to host an activity outside of their neighborhood.
Correct. Yeah. Exactly. That's why I was confused about this particular requirement.
However, with our special event application process and with this application, at least what I remember reading there, although I would agree that a neighborhood association would probably have their event in their neighborhood, there also was not anything, any policy that would exclude them from saying, hey, you know, Snail, we want to have something and we're going to do it at Baylands Park. We're going to do a big cookout. We want the whole of Baylands. And then they're putting in for that. There is no provision that prevents them from doing that. So if council were interested in us exploring that and looking at the type of policy, we can, but there is nothing excluding them.
Right. But more importantly, let's say Snail has got a barbecue and then that's in Baylands Park. Does it considered as community event or neighborhood?
I mean, I think it depends on probably what the event would how they would propose to do that event and how they creatively think we're going to Baylands to do this neighborhood thing somewhere else. But you know, if they string something together, and I think if the committee thinks it makes sense and they end up accepting that application, then again, there's nothing excluding them from asking for that.
One of the differences could be if they invite only their neighborhood association members versus they have it open to the public.
Right.
That would be one of the differences between a neighborhood grant and a community event.
Right. Yeah, that kind of makes sense. Yeah. Whether it's Sunnyvale residents versus...
Right. They won't be able to apply for a community event grant right. And then only have it for a certain group.
Okay. Those are my questions. And then once again, I would like to see... I'd like to see the evaluation guidelines posted on the application itself. That way it's all clear in one application. So those are my comments. Thank you very much. Thanks for, it's really looking really, really good. Once again, this is work in progress, but it's a step in the right direction. I think as far as I know, Sunnyvale is the only city in the neighborhood, in the neighboring agency, which has this kind of a program, and then it's increasing year by year. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So I have a few questions. So if you're currently not part of a neighborhood association, like I live in District 1, and there's large parts of District 1 that are not in a neighborhood association. And say somebody that's not in a neighborhood association wanted to host a block party and wanted to apply for funding, what would be the mechanism for that? Like, there is a neighborhood association, but the area where the block party is not in the boundary of the neighborhood association. And then the block party people would want to apply for a grant. Is there a process for that?
Not in this current version that we're talking about.
Okay.
That's the short answer.
Oh, could they say like a neighborhood association is in the vicinity of this block party area? Could the neighborhood association like temporarily adopt the geographical area for the block party and make it one of their, if they didn't use the block party, their allocation block party, could that be done?
Again, not in the current way we're proposing it in this first year.
Mm-hmm.
We ask neighborhood associations to define their boundaries. And so if they wanted to extend their boundary, then we would, staff would encourage them not to do it temporarily for the sake of a block party. Mm-hmm. They would do it as a way to say, hey, we want to expand our neighbor association boundaries to include these streets or these houses. If neighbors currently are not in a registered neighbor association and they really want to
get together and do it, then staff would encourage them to form a neighborhood association. Again, it could be super small. It doesn't have to be really big. And as a first step, and we try to make that relatively easy. There's a lot of guidelines and direction on the city website to start a neighborhood association and then follow that process to become a registered neighborhood association with the city.
Okay. So say, for example, there's like a block and they want to close off their street for a block party and they want to see if they can get funding. Is there time right now in the process for them to apply to become a neighborhood association, and it just might encompass like two blocks? Is that like, I don't know how long it takes for the neighborhood association process to, is that within the realm of this application process for them to do it? Or would you, they apply and then they also have the second application process time?
It is within the realm of possibility. To register to become a neighborhood association with us is relatively simple. Uh-huh. We have a simple template they have to fill in. Yeah. The questions itself are thought-provoking, right? Yeah. We ask them, what's your leadership structure? Yeah. How are you communicating to your neighbors? What's the goal of your neighborhood association? So it's not that one person can sit down and fill it out. Mm-hmm. But if they do have small numbers, one mm-hmm. street or two streets, and they're mm-hmm. really interested in becoming a neighborhood association, it could be done, I think, relatively quickly. And then again, that's kind of why we did a spring session, right? So mm-hmm. if they can't get it all completed, they're thinking about it now, they're super mm-hmm. excited, but they can't do it within a couple of weeks when the fall cycle mm-hmm. opens. Mm-hmm. They have some time to do it, become a registered, and then apply in the spring.
Okay. Okay, so that's good. And will there be some way in which, say, I'm planning a block party and I'm not involved in this neighborhood association network of things. And so I don't know that there's this grant process. So how would it be possible for the city to maybe possibly have some communication on a social media thing, talking about the neighborhood grant program and the neighborhood association program and inspiring somebody that's not in a neighborhood association to aspire to like, these are benefits of having a neighborhood association in Sunnyvale. Have you considered like any outreach to the general public about the benefits of forming a neighborhood association? Like, yeah.
Yeah, we try to do it all year round through different yeah. social city
yeah. Yeah.
communications. We put an insert in the utility bill every year to mm-hmm. encourage participation or at least questions about what a neighborhood association
okay.
is.
Great.
So we'll keep trying to do that. We would love to get help from, we talk a lot about having current really strong neighborhood associations volunteer to mentor and mm-hmm. talk with folks who are thinking about becoming a neighborhood association and talk to them about what that process looks like. Mm-hmm. So we've had a couple of those informal conversations that's been going really well. And we can certainly explore more. There is actually a webpage on the city about block parties. So we can try to connect something about neighborhood associations now that there might be potential funding with block parties. And we can look at the possibility of doing that with other city staff.
Okay. And then if like, now we're going to start this application process and, you know, like maybe, I don't know, you know, you said throughout the year we had that I don't know if like a little more frequency at this time when we're opening up this application, that would be great. So that's wonderful. Say we have a neighborhood association and they apply for funding and then maybe like they don't use the full amount of their cap. And then we have the second later in the same year. I mean, later in the second, in the second part, you know, we have the 80% and the 20%. And then the neighborhood association hasn't hit their cap yet. Could they apply in the 20% portion of this cycle for to reach their cap? Yeah, they could.
Yes, if their first application, they requested a funding award that's less than what they're allotted in their tier, and yeah. they say, we want to do more, can we apply? Sure, absolutely.
And then say, like, there's this community organization, and they apply, and then they get chopped down. Like they ask for, like, you know, 50%, but 50% is much more than we could allocate to them. But then later during the 20% cycle, we have extra funding, and all the neighborhoods have applied for everything and we have extra funding. Could a community organization apply to kind of try to get more funding? Does that all make sense yet? Okay, say it costs like 10,000, and then 40%, 50% of 10,000 is 5,000, but we can't afford like 5,000 for that community event. And then, but we've allocated in this cycle, like how much we wanna allocate to the neighborhoods and how much we wanna allocate to the community organizations. Then we come to the 20% cycle, and we fund all the neighborhoods, and then we still have extra money. Would it be beneficial for a community organization to apply again, just in case, like they won't be assured that they will get money, but they would like submit an application just to see?
For the same community event they applied to in the fall cycle.
Yeah, we didn't award them 50% in the first cycle, but then they apply in the 20% cycle. It's kind of similar to the neighborhood association, that they haven't met their cap yet and they apply again.
They could. I don't know that I would publicize that that's what we're doing.
Okay.
They certainly could, providing they haven't applied for and received the maximum amount of funding already.
Okay. And then, so how are we dividing, like, of this total amount of 150K, how much of it would go towards the community event and how much of it would go to the neighborhood? Like, I know last year when we came into this, we went through the budget cycle, and council suggested that they wanted to give more funding to the neighborhood association. So then when we came into awarding the money, the council members up here were saying, can we focus the money towards the neighborhood association? And so a lot of what was funded went to the neighborhood association, but there weren't as many neighborhoods, not all the neighborhood association applied. So we did have extra funding on the neighborhood association side. So we put that towards the community grant side. So at the time, we kind of thought, well, next year, there might be more neighborhood associations that apply. So it won't be always that the community events will get so much money. But this year with the 150K, how are you thinking of doing that?
So we specifically didn't propose a split with this new funding.
Yeah.
We wanted to see what the applications looked like mm-hmm. that were coming in
mm-hmm.
And how many were for each program mm-hmm. and then put that as part of the consideration. So staff didn't assign a specific proposed allocation, this mm-hmm. much for community events, this much for neighborhood grants in 2026.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, we certainly could. We could, you know, we could say it's going to be a 50-50 split, a 60-40 split. We could mm-hmm. front load a mm-hmm. number, mm-hmm. a percentage.
Mm-hmm.
What we were thinking is, because this is a new, we're embarking on something a little new this year. One, we didn't want to lock ourselves into that and then have to think about, well, the ask is there, but we're not really feeling good about giving that money, and then we're taking it away even though we said that this is how much we're going to give.
Mm-hmm.
So our thought process was, let's see what comes in. Mm-hmm. You know, there might be a huge influx of neighborhood association applications, mm-hmm. and maybe not as many community event applications mm-hmm. in this mm-hmm. new cycle for the first year. Mm-hmm. Next year, it might be the complete opposite. Mm-hmm. I just thought, you know, as we talked this through, we thought the council might want that flexibility mm-hmm. to say, okay, this year we're going heavy on community events because, mm-hmm. you know, there's something happening in the world that year that we want to try and make sure that we have enough money for community events. Or this is what's, we're really going to focus locally. We want to have a lot more neighborhood association events, or perhaps we get a ton more neighborhood associations become associations. So we erred on the side of flexibility there. But this is the discussion. So if you feel like you want to try and lock into some numbers, that certainly is an option for you today.
Okay. I'll think about that. Thank you. So my other question is, so sometimes like when I've been to events, sometimes some of the community event people tell me like, well, we didn't apply for the community event because at this current event, we need to, you know, sell like popcorn. We don't charge anyone to come to the event, but we need to like, you know, fundraise for the event, like popcorn or raffle tickets or, you know, something like that. Would that, them selling the popcorn, would that make them, but everybody is welcome to come free. Would the selling of the popcorn or the selling of the raffle tickets or the, would that make them ineligible for the community grant?
Yes, the way we have the guidelines now, it does make them ineligible to apply for the community events grant.
Okay, so when I've talked to the residents, they say it feels like that's a little catch 22, because if you're only gonna pay, you know, like say in this case, 50%, then how are we gonna raise that 50% that you're not providing us? Like is that, does that, yeah, where would, are you thinking that they're supposed to fundraise in some other endeavor and then so they don't have to fundraise at that event? Is that what you're trying to say?
So I think these guidelines for the community event program has been laid out this way for a number of years now. Mm-hmm. If the subcommittee wants to change that, again, it's the discussion part. Mm-hmm. But that's, yes, the expectation is that 100% of the community event cost would not be on the city. That the organization, mostly nonprofits, are skilled enough to do some other fundraising to host a community event for Sunnyvale community.
Yeah, I think what I'm trying to say is Sunnyvale would only fund 50%, say the total cost for the event is $1,000, and then they would only get, like, they're applying for only $500. So the other $500, they need to, like, and somehow figure out how to fundraise that $500. And what they're telling me is that, so to raise the $500 at that event, what they'd like to do is to like do the little things like, you know, maybe sell popcorn or something like that, which does not, like the admission to the event is still free. And it would be a choice if people chose to buy the popcorn or not buy the popcorn.
I think
any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think where that becomes a little hard to monitor,
yeah,
is the event is free. Mm-hmm. There are 24 activities. There's popcorn, there's games, mm-hmm. there's sandwiches, whatever there is. And all 24 of those things cost money. Mm-hmm. The event is not free then, if everything you do in the event costs something. So that's where I think it becomes tough for us to monitor,
yeah,
in terms of, well, you can have the popcorn free. You can charge for the popcorn, but you can't charge for the games. Or you can charge for this, but you can't charge. At that point, we're dealing with so many percentages within percentages of an event that it really would become so staff, and we'd have to have staff at these events to to monitor everything they're doing. And that would take the entire $150,000 in, honestly, in staff time to do that.
Yeah.
What we need to be able to say is, in order for you to qualify for this money, it is a free event to the community. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Okay.
Now, some people want to have a booth at some event because mm-hmm. it's so high profile. They know there's going to be a lot of people there. Mm-hmm. And just by having a booth and showing their artwork or whatever it is, it's going to be a real boon to their business. They could pay to have a booth. And the organizers of the event could say, it's $100 for everyone who wants to have a booth here. You can't charge for anything in the booth, mm-hmm. but it's $100 for you to be present. That's okay. How they could raise their money.
Okay, by having sponsors.
Right.
So just like when I went to some of the neighborhood associations, they had sponsors and sponsors had booth.
Absolutely.
But all the things at the booth were free.
Yes.
Okay, that's good. So that's something that I could tell the people that are concerned about. The event I was thinking about was like the multicultural event where they had dancing and they had like stage show and kind of that. And on the side, they sold the popcorn and the raffles. But what I could suggest to them is, could they get sponsors to help sponsor the 50%?
Yeah.
And okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. And also I would say too, when it comes to, I know maybe this was just kind of an example you were giving us, but when we also start saying that food is going to be provided at an event, that also can trigger a special event permit, and it also can trigger needing to apply for with the county health so they can come and check it out. Mm-hmm. As an example, I know it sounds kind of weird, but at the Corn Palace Park opening, even though we pre-purchased popcorn and we had bowls out there and we were just putting it in the bowl, I had to check in with county health. So they're triggering other things by doing stuff like that. So that's also why we have to be careful and we have to really educate the public on what triggers what when they start putting more of those things into their applications.
Okay. So somewhere in this thing is that if you serve food, then that triggers a special event permit and that might trigger like the county. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely will.
Okay. In terms of when you need a permit, like I think sometimes you need a permit when you have amplification. And is that listed in, that's listed in a permit that you need. Okay, because I didn't see it under, okay, because I didn't kind of see it when I glanced at it, but it's there. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Under that, when you, yeah. Okay.
That's right.
Good for you. And then I don't know, like, if you go and you see all those six bullets, like, I don't know, like Councilmember Srinivasan, like, would it make sense to have a hyperlink to the 17 pages? I don't know. Okay. And then I was looking at one of the grants, and it was Neighborhood Grant Program Application, calendar year 2026. And then it said the application deadline is October 10th, 5 p.m. And then down there under project leader, it says project leader serves as the primary point. The final report, including eligible receipts and invoices showing payment, are due 30 days to conclusion of the event, no later than December 2025. Should it say no later than December 2026?
You got a typo. We'll fix it.
Okay,
thank you.
Great. Councilmember Srinivasan.
I didn't see that.
Okay, yeah. Usually Councilmember Srinivasan catches those kind of things. Okay, I thought that's all my questions. And it's amazing. So much complexity we added to this. And pretty innocuous questions that we had. So good job in thinking through this, staff. Okay.
I have
Okay, Councilmember Srinivasan.
Thank you. Before public comment, you mentioned about the food. Yesterday at NNO, every NNO had food. Does that mean that they had to get some county permission, or how did that work?
I'm sorry, every which?
Every national night out yesterday, every national night out, I attended 7 of them. Everybody had some kind of food, whether it's potluck or pizza or ice cream.
So for potlucks, that might be different. We'd have to kind of get into those nuances of what maybe they were providing. Yeah. But certainly, if there was a big grill out there, and they were grilling hamburgers and hot dogs for the neighbors, that would probably trigger a food permit, because now the county wants to make sure that what they're providing is meets the standard, right? So, So if that stuff is out there, then we should definitely be talking to them so we can tell them what that process looks like. And it's not with us. It's more of us saying, here's the contact person, please talk to the county, and the county will let you know what does fall or what does not fall into it. And then what are those conditions to have the food at your event?
Right. I think, I don't know whether all the neighborhood associations knew about it, but it might be worthwhile putting it somewhere in the application or whenever, because almost everybody was serving pizza some people had hot dogs and then burgers and all
that. I think, right? The county would probably be more concerned with things that are being prepared on site. If it was something where, you know, don't want to give them a plug here, but maybe they bought it from Domino's and Domino's came and they provided all these pizzas. There would probably be some conditions, but not as stringent as if Jesus from Cherry Chase wanted to bring out my grill and cook hamburgers and hot dogs for my neighbors, and it's a neighborhood event. That's probably where they're going to want to step in and have some say in the conditions.
Okay. Yeah, I have also seen in some of the block parties, not National Night Out, where they cook falafel. There was a block party where they were making falafel, wonderful falafel. One of the best I ever had. But they were making it there.
You should have called me. I would have went over there.
I will ask them to invite you next time. But they were making it there. I don't know whether that would trigger. Obviously, they were ignorant of that if they had not asked.
Yeah, there's a lot of nuance to these questions when it comes to this, because, you know, unfortunately, how good the falafel is doesn't trigger the permit, right?
Absolutely.
It's going to be based on the cooking. You know, is it prepackaged falafel already in a bag? Are they cooking it there? Is it open to the public, or is it a special invite only to the neighbors? You know, all of these are nuanced triggers for special event permitting and the county health. We certainly can add some language to the application to make sure those applying are informed and know that they should contact county health to determine if they need a food permit or not. Since most of these are not going to trigger a special event permit, because they're not open to the public, you know, their neighborhood.
Yeah, it's a block party.
It isn't something that we're traditionally getting involved with. If this is a huge can of worms when it comes to everyone's going to need that food permit to do these events, we might need to look at National Night Out in its entirety as a special event. As opposed to 30 special events.
Right, yeah, that makes sense.
And see how that translates.
Because everybody was serving food yesterday. Yeah. I didn't.
Well, we'll definitely look back on this meeting and remember that.
City
manager was there, DPS chief was there in some of the events, mayor was there.
Yeah, the county reps are very responsive too. So if there's something that they had a question on, they would for sure get back to them, you know, probably within 24 to 48 hours. They're very responsive when I work with them.
So thank you. Yeah, this is more for my information because I don't want to misinform somebody applying for a block party and then creating some health unhealthy situation or health problems. But regarding other kind of funding, I have seen sponsorship, usually real estate agents, and then Patrick, assembly member or county supervisors funding some of these things. But those are my questions. Thank you very much.
And to build on what the most recent discussion, yeah, if I were filling out the block party application and I wouldn't necessarily know about the food issue. So because I would probably be first time I'm ever doing this kind of thing. And so if the food issue could be highlighted somewhere in the application, that would be great. Okay. Yep. Okay. Council Member Cisneros?
Yeah, I'll just say one more thing. Vice Mayor, Chair Sell, you mentioned those block parties that don't quite fall within the neighborhood association. There is, so downtown, there's actually not a direct heritage neighborhood association. There used to be, I guess it's not active, but there's a block party there. And so there are occasionally events and I just go to these events and I'm like, hello, would you like to learn about organizers / my neighbors? Would you like to learn about organizing this neighborhood association? So I kind of see that as a really cool opportunity for council members and for, you know, I know Tim does this too, the city manager, and going out and doing that direct outreach. And plus it's usually fun. And, you know, the block party I'm thinking of, I won't snitch on that particular block party, but there was really delicious barbecue that they'll need to, if it's going to be a thing, but I really appreciate the comments on making this really transparent, as easy as possible and easy to go ahead and, come into compliance as possible, make that the easiest thing to do rather than kind of, avoid the process there. But, I think these are really great opportunities, to continue to engage, like the city's engagement, as was mentioned, that's one of the big goals is the city's engagement with these neighborhood groups. And even if they don't, like, they're like, no, we don't want to do that right now. It's like, all right, cool. But, you know, now I'm thinking of, if you all remember the Halloween downtown, where you needed it, just the crowd of people closed off three streets because somebody amplified the message on Instagram that there was going to be a big Halloween thing. And now it's like, okay, I think this should be a special event. If there are going to be streets closed down, I think DPS wants to be here. So there are a lot of good opportunities to kind of look ahead and do that, because that can happen on accident occasionally.
Yeah, and I think part of our council strategic initiative is to becoming welcoming and inclusive. So I think these having a really efficient way for people to learn about neighborhood associations, low barrier for people to become part of a neighbor, to enact a neighborhood association, all feeds into some of those council priorities to have equity across the city. So I really appreciate that you're trying to make at a low threshold, low complexity to become a neighborhood association. So I appreciate that. And I think having the tiers, what I've heard from some of the feedback from the neighborhoods is that some of them want to grow the neighborhood association so that they could reach higher tiers. So it's a positive incentive, I believe. So thank you. So now I will go ahead. Any more questions or comments? Okay. So now I will go ahead and open the public hearing for this specific item. Please submit your speaker card to the recording officer, raise your digital hand, or dial *9 on the telephone to indicate that you wish to speak. I will call on members of the public participating in person first, followed by remote participants. The speakers will have 3 minutes to speak. So first person on the call is Valerie S.
Fresh off the press. I have been members of last night, and I thought I really wanted to share them with you.
I think you need to turn on the.
No green. There you go. Thank you. Thank you. First time in person, so I appreciate that. So last night, as you know, with Snails Neighborhood Association meeting, and I have all of the numbers I've tabulated this morning, and I think that it's really important. It addresses why we have been asking for the tier numbers. So I'm going to put my glasses, and these numbers will become available in the report that I will submit, as I do it always. So just as a fresh reminder, there are 1,600 homes in the Snail neighborhood and 691 apartments. We do have a newsletter that is being distributed door to door on a monthly basis that promotes the events that we do. So this is something that is known. We do not post our private event on social media. We do not post them on Nextdoor for exactly the reason that we were talking about a few minutes ago. So these are the numbers, at least as who the neighborhood is. Last night, out of all of these, we had 535 people attending. The year before, we had 452. So our goal this year for the 30th anniversary was really to reach the 500. So success to all of the 12 core Snail volunteers that have worked religiously since January to put this event together. So 12 core volunteers from Snail. We had 17 elected officials coming, and that included from the US House representative, we had a senator, we had a state Californian representative, we had Jeff Rosen, the DA, Santa Clara DA, I'm sorry. We had Otto Lee, Larry Klein, Richard Mellinger, Tim Kirby, Julie Miller, and the off-elected official, we had Elaine Menley, who is our moderator, who's been moderating in all of our elected official forums, so we made sure that she was invited. I'll come back to your question in a minute. We had 30 DPS staff showing up. Then, as usual, we have the ice cream trucks. So we bring in the ice cream trucks from the neighborhood. So the kids know the gentleman who drives the truck and the driver knows the kids. So we really want to have this symbiotic relationship with them. We sold 310 ice creams. The kids got 310 ice creams and some of the adults. At the end of the day, we just paid the vendor. So I don't know if that fulfilled the, you know, the special permit, but this is how we've been doing it. We don't pay, our participants do not pay anything. They just get a ticket to come in. They get a ticket and a wristband and off they go. And then finally, we had some kids' activities, which was really, really important for us as we do every year. We had a bracelet making for the kids. They were,
I'd like to give you another minute.
Thank you. I'm almost done. Thank you. That extra minute will be perfect. The kids were making bracelets. There were 36 bracelets that were made. We also made some air dry clay little snails. There were 65 of them that were made. Photos will be provided. Face paintings and arms paintings and balloon making, there were 45 of them that took place. We gave 100. The kids were able to build little pots of succulents. 100 of them were being picked up and made. And finally, they were all together. Target was helping us at the registration. They were the one who collected the numbers. The library services, park and recs, we had two
one realtor and one union credit union. We had a day table for ability awareness because we do have the Pacific Autism School in our camp in our neighborhood, so they were there. We had the Department of Environmental Studies. We had social services. We had the DA. And then we had the arts department from the city. And we had, and that's it. And the balloons, the famous balloons. We had two openings, two half circles balloons with snails crawling all over them.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For giving me that extra time.
Yeah, and I had a question for you.
Sure.
What do you think of some of these major changes that we've had in this, like the three tiers, the two cycles, and the extra 100K? What do you have, like,
so first of all, thank you. Like I said, with a lot of gratitude, because these events are expensive for us. You were asking earlier, how do neighborhood pay for this? Well, we beat the bushes. You know, I mean, I've been on the paid walk asking for funding since January, and not only myself, but a lot of people. I think it's very welcome. I know that we have stopped the block parties because we didn't have the fundings, and we had decided to focus our funding on the National Night Out, because we're such a big neighborhood. And because really people, as you saw last night when you came, you really saw the relationship that I've already built. And I was already thinking last night, how can I actually make sure that people get to know each other's neighbors? And I thought, well, should we have a, you know, label? I live on Eaglewood, or I live on Pine, or I live on whatever. So that could be a way for the neighbors to get closer, and then ultimately potentially even build the block party idea, right? I think that the block party is a great idea. It will give us the opportunity to push this through not only our monthly meeting and to discuss it with the attendees, but also put it in our newsletter and say, is there any interest, right? A monthly newsletter, and then we'll see. I think it's okay. It's a good idea. It's welcome.
Okay. Any other?
Oh, yeah,
okay, a question.
I was there.
Yes.
Thank you for attending.
Yeah, no problem. I really enjoyed it. It was really, I was in the beginning of the event, so I didn't see much of the thing because I had to go to other stuff, but I really enjoyed. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I wanted to comment that I came for the beginning part, but it just seemed like just a well-organized like event. So it's a testimony to your experience. And I was just thinking that if there's a way through the neighborhood association to, you know, have a bullet point of lessons learned from a snail case study, like that would be like wonderful, so that other neighborhood associations could learn from your best practices. So I saw that you came to each booth and you said, okay, here's a form, and note how many children came, how many adults came, how many, and I'm going, oh, that's very like, I would have never thought about that, but you, over your many years, you've had these like lessons learned, you know, best practices, and you know, I'm always a big person in sharing best practices. So if you might consider that.
Absolutely. And Angela and a few others have spoken about doing something like this. And we did a couple of years ago, right, Angela? We had a best practice maybe 3 years ago, I think. So let me tell you why I've asked the tables to actually tabulate, is because I love numbers. Numbers don't lie, right? Mm-hmm. I could ask for $5,000, but if I tell you, oh, well, we had a great party, mm-hmm. it doesn't really, for me at least, mm-hmm. in my professional life, I would want to tell my boss how successful that money was put to use, right? And that's the way that I believe. I'm not saying every neighborhood should do it. I mean, to that extent, it's rare. And I know Angela always says to me, your numbers, your numbers, your numbers. It's very rare. But that's the integrity that I provide the funders. It's the justification, and more importantly, is for you on council to see that, in fact, I am delivering on my promises, right?
And I also think it's like beneficial in terms of future getting the funder to come back, because they'll have like noted, oh, I saw a lot of people at this event.
Right.
So it like is, it helps in the future to propel like the event to be even more successful. Yeah, so.
And to piggyback on this, you know, you were impressed with a document. I see myself as an orchestrator, as a conductor in this event, right? I'm not here to check, you know, how old are you, hold this and this. That's not my goal during the event. During the event, I want to make sure that every event mingles, that this space is safe, right? None of you were part of the conversation that I had with DPS and with the DA, but for 2 days, I had butterflies in my stomach. What if I shows up, right? Mm-hmm. What if? Mm-hmm. What's the plan? What are we going to do, right? So I'm always thinking ahead, mm-hmm. right? My goal is to make sure that everybody's having a good time. I don't have the bandwidth during that time just to keep a log as to shows up, right? And this is why I pushed it back. I push mm-hmm. it back on the people who are making the bracelets. They just do a check. And mm-hmm. I'll be more than happy, Angela, to share this log with me. I might even have one with me, but I do a map for the exhibitors. Many of you may have received it. Your staff has received it. I do a map location as to where people are. So it's just, I'm so used to do big events mm-hmm. that it makes sense. It's easier on the organization at that point, because then people know where to go. You know, the people who are having their tables, they know where to go. And then we have a better relationship this way. Oh, thank you. I'm so glad. Mm-hmm. Here's your table, right? And that's it.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
Of course. Thank you. Thank you very much for recognizing the efforts and for increasing the funding. It's going to make a big difference.
Okay. Thank you very much. And thank you. Any more questions? No? Okay, no more questions. Thank you. And does anyone else want to speak on this item before I hear from remote speakers? No. Okay. Do we have any remote speakers?
No, we do not.
Okay. Let me see. So I will close the public hearing, and I will ask for... Do we have comments or a motion from my colleagues? Okay. I will now ask for a motion from my colleagues.
I move to approve.
Srinivasan. Yeah. Okay.
I move to approve community events and neighborhood grant program materials for calendar year 2026 and authorize staff to initiate the application process.
Second.
Okay. Do we have any advocacy? Any advocacy? Okay. I would like to say that I thought today would be a very heated, long discussion, but I feel like staff did a wonderful job of thinking through this and listening to the input we got at our previous meeting to the community. And I'm guessing that staff also worked with the community in between to, you know, kind of sounding board brain. So anyway, it just seems like, wow, like staff thought of everything so that there's not really much that we need to like say, oh, look at this. So I just thought staff did a wonderful job. The community has done a wonderful job working with staff, giving us feedback. And so I think it's just a win-win. So hope my colleagues vote in support of this motion. And so... Since there's no more discussion, no more advocacy, recording officer, please conduct roll call vote.
Councilmember Srinivasan?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Sell?
Yes.
Councilmember Cisneros?
Yes.
The motion passes with 3.
The next portion of the agenda is for oral reports and announcements by subcommittee and staff to share information. Subcommittee members, do we have any non-agenda items or comments? Okay. Does staff have any non-agendized items or comments?
Yeah, I would just say one thing, just so we're talking about neighborhood associations. We do have a quarterly meeting next Monday. So for those interested or wanting to get more information, or even council members want to come and see who is a part of that body, please come. We're going to be in, where is it? Where's the room? Is it in the Bay Room? Yeah, Bay Room, from starting at 7 o'clock.
Okay, great. Okay, so the meeting is adjourned at 3:28. And I want to thank you, everyone, for your participation in today's meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you.